If somebody came up to you and asked you, "Are you saved?" how would you answer that question? If someone came up to you and asked you, "Are you saved?" or "Have you taken Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" It's a little bit of a forward question. I would say a better way of evangelizing is just simply asking someone what their name is, what they like to do, just to get to know them at a human level. But you do have people that are very zealous for the faith, whether they're Catholic or Protestant or evangelical, and they'll ask you that question, "Are you saved?" "Well, I pray the rosary." Not what they asked. "Are you saved?" I go to church on Sunday, but I asked you if you're saved. The word saved comes from the word safe. Are you safe? We look at being safe in light of our second reading from Acts of the Apostles 16:22-34, where we hear about Paul and Silas and them being stripped by the magistrates, and they're ordered to beat them with rods, and they get beaten. They're thrown into jail, and they're put in the innermost cell, a deep, dark place, and they're secured. Their feet are secured to a stake. And a lot of us, that's us. We're in that place, that inner dark prison, and the Lord is calling us out of that so he can save us. And it says that about midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God as the prisoners listened. Now, mind you, they're singing hymns, and they're praising God, and they were just the crap was just beaten out of them, right? So there's something special about these two. And there was suddenly a severe earthquake, and the foundations of the jail shook. Now, that jail, that prison, is what a lot of us or a lot of our families are in. People we know, they're in that jail. And the power of the gospel, the power of singing praise and worship, will shake the foundations of whatever inner prison you're in that Jesus wants to save you from. And it says, all the doors flew open, and the chains that were around their feet were pulled loose. Now the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, and he drew his sword out of fear. That's not the attitude of a Christian, because we've been saved by what Jesus did for us on the cross. He drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. Think of people that are suicidal that need to even be saved from that. And he was thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice. So imagine that scene. "Do no harm to yourself. We are all here." The prisoner does a wise thing. He asks for a light. He asks. Does our Lord not say, "Ask and you shall receive"? And he rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. He humbles himself. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And we have to ask ourselves that question too. What do I need to do? And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." We have to believe. Not just be like, "Oh, because there's a wooden cross on there and a corpus that resembles something that happened 2,000 years ago." But no, he saves me, he is saving me, and I hope to be saved every day. And he's brought me out of my own personal prison. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I'm blind, and now I see. And we have to witness to that. And we should be asking other people, how did God save you? Or have you experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ? Have you been brought out of something? And we have to witness to that. But what it's not saying is, if you live an upright and pure life, don't go and screw it up and ask God to save you on purpose so he loves you more. Some people, like Paul, had huge conversions. And praise God for that. St. Augustine, St. Ignatius Loyola have had huge conversions. But some, like John, the beloved disciple, just lived an upright and holy life. And the Lord still saved them. And he didn't have to do anything major to make God love him. They just accepted. They believe that it's not just a myth. It's not just because Father Zach says it. It's because by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe. And that's how I was saved. And am being saved and hope to be saved. And if somebody ever asks you, "Have you been saved?" you have to reflect upon your own life and look at the fact in great gratitude that you're still living. Because look at a lot of the mistakes we've made. We hear in Romans 8:28 that the wages of sin are death. And if we don't believe, as we hear in John 3:17, we're condemning ourselves. But if we believe, he offers us eternal life. But not just us, but everyone else that we encounter. And we have to share that good news. We have to witness. That's the reason why the pews are empty. Right there. Because we're not asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not asking the Lord to reveal to us how he's saving us and how we can help other people encounter that. We have to ask those questions. Otherwise, this church is going to crumble. But if we do what the prison guard did, he asked for the light. He rushed in. He asked the right question. What must I do to be saved? And you have to take an act of faith, and you have to believe that it's true. Not just because I say so, or someone else, because you personally believe, and you've seen and felt and noticed how you were in dark and now you're in light. You were deaf and now you hear. You were in prison and now you are free. And you have to ask to be filled with that Holy Spirit that will convict you of that Jesus talks about in our gospel today. Because if we don't believe, we're condemning ourselves. But believing is sweet. It's the best. And if we know that it is super sweet, if it is the best, we have to share that. You can't contain that. But if we don't know, we come to church to remind ourselves how Christ has saved us and is saving us and is calling us to help save others. Because if we go through the motions, we're allowing ourselves to remain in that inner prison. And if the doors flew open, we'd run out. But we have freedom that Jesus is offering us. That's the whole shocking thing about this whole story, is that Paul and Silas stayed in prison because they were free. And the jailer was dumbfounded that you could be that free on this side of heaven. And it's possible, and Jesus is offering all of us that freedom. He's offering us to save us from whatever hell we are going through. But how do we do it? We have to believe. We have to say, Jesus, I accept it with every part of my being, to the best of my ability, that you saved me, and you would have died for me if I was the only person on earth, because that's what love does. That's what love looks like. And if I know that, I must share it. That is the offer to all of us, this Mass. And that life will be present on this altar, body, blood, soul, and divinity, because he loves you that much. And he's knocking at the door of your heart. And he says, will you open? Not just today, but every day. Will you be like the prisoner and get down on your knees and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day? To share the good news, to be an evangelist, to change the world. And that is the Spirit that convicts us of that truth. And if we live in that truth, we too will help save others as Christ desires us. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill us this Mass and every day. We ask that the Eucharist may be the source in some of our own lives, and not just here, but also when we leave the doors. We ask the doors of all the prisons of our own hearts, minds, bodies, and souls be opened, and that the Holy Spirit rush in to help us know the truth, that we are loved, that we are saved, and we are called to help save others. Amen.